We're going to be remembering what Jesus has done for us a little bit later after the message in communion. And so I want you to be preparing yourself for that and setting your heart up for that. I'm really going to preach today a bit of a timeline as what happened in our lives with Joshua's homegoing from last Saturday up until now. And I was chatting with Pastor Karsten when I was in Sudbury and when we were looking after the affairs of Joshua as we were doing everything that needs to be done. And I was telling him, you know, God has given us some wonderful signs about our son's homegoing. And so we're in the third of a series called When Christ Comes. Now, how many of you remember that in this series, and we're talking today about when Christ comes, how should we love? How should we love? And we're going to be looking at John 13 and John 21, and I'm going to kind of be weaving this timeline into the message today. But how many of you remember over the last 8 months? Because really, this series, the Lord dropped into my heart when I was just, sometimes I'll take 3 or 4 days away and I'll just pray and plan about what I should preach and what direction I should be going in our teaching times, which is always a precious thing that I have the privilege of doing along with our other pastors. But how many of you remember over the last 8 months that I probably mentioned this 3, maybe 4 times, and I can tell you that in all of my years of preaching, I've never said anything like this, because the most favorite thing that I get to do as your pastor is study the Bible, read the Bible, and share the messages from God's Word. That is the thing that I delight in the most. I just love teaching God's Word. And so what I said over this past 8 months, I've never said before. But do any of you remember me saying something like this? You know, I'm going to be preaching a 3-week series on the coming of Christ, and I'm not looking forward to it. And I said it a few, like, come on, what a stupid thing to say. I mean, the reason that I was saying that is because I already knew the three texts that I was going to be preaching. When Christ comes, what will it be like? When Christ comes, how should we live? And that's what Pastor Karsten, I gave him that text to preach last week, talking about holiness, to distinguish ourselves in the coming of the Lord. And then, when Christ comes, how should we love? And I knew that they were going to be kind of messages that would really call us to the Lord. And so they were going to be a little bit sharp. But when I was saying I'm going to be preaching a series on when Christ comes, and I'm not looking forward to doing it, I had no idea what I was saying. But God did. God knew. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of a timeline of what was one of the, I would have to say, other than following Jesus, which is the correct Sunday school answer when I got saved when I was 18, other than marrying my wife, which is the right thing for me to say if I want to stay happily married. The most exciting day in our lives took place December 13th, 1987. When our firstborn son, Joshua Douglas Krause, came into the world, and he was born for the glory of the Lord. Now, some of you might wonder, why does he say that? You know, that was the first, I just graduated from Bible school, and that was the first musical that I was conducting. I was the associate pastor, and so I helped with our Sunday school and with all of our different groups that we had in the church, but I also directed our music program and directed our choir. And that was the first musical. Tom Fetke wrote a musical, a Christmas musical, called For the Glory of the Lord. And so we named our son Joshua. Yeshua, that's the name, Hebrew, Greek, Jesus. Yeshua means God is our salvation. And so Joshua Douglas Krause was born December 13th for the glory of the Lord. And we'd kind of prayed a prayer to the Lord, God, any day except December 13th. Because it was my first musical. And so we'd already, Wanda was pregnant and with child when we did our first performance at Cambrian College in New Sudbury, another part of Sudbury. But then we were doing it at the church December 13th. She went into labor Saturday night at our Christmas banquet. And she was in labor all night long, so I missed the morning service. But we were thinking, you know, surely he'll come by the time 7 o'clock. Well, actually, Wanda was in labor for over 24 hours. And so just wind the clock forward. It's 6:45. And now we have a pair of doctors. I called them a paradox when I was in Sudbury. A pair of doctors that attended the Sudbury congregation. They weren't delivering Josh. We had a special doctor, you know, for that does that. But then these pair of doctors, because it was getting 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and they sang in the choir. They came into the delivery room, and they were kind of talking to Pastor Dave over at the church, Glad Tidings Tabernacle. Yeah, no, he's not here yet. The baby's not out yet. And so I'm really saying, like husbands should say, push, push, you know, because I'm looking at the clock and it's getting later and later. And so 7 o'clock, the baby's not there. Henry Robinson used to direct the choir before I came, and his wife Jean said, we'd better stop praying for Doug and start praying for Henry, because they thought he would conduct the choir. But about 7:10, Josh was born. And how many men remember, you know, that are a little more, you're not older than me, you're just a little more mature than I am. How many of you remember that when your sons or daughters were born, you didn't get to go into the labor and delivery room, right? You just waited for the phone call. Anybody remember those days? But now you get to go in. So we were in the labor and delivery room, and I had the hat on, you know, the hospital hat and all the greens. So I ran literally from the delivery room. I ran to the choir, said, it's a boy, and we did the musical. And my head was flat like somebody put cement, you know. So Joshua was born, the most happiest day of our lives, December 13th, 1987, for the glory of the Lord. And I did what we do. I dedicated Joshua to the Lord. I gave him back to the Lord. That's what we do as parents. And we raised him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what we do. He's not mine. That was the happiest day of our lives, of course, until December the 6th, 1989, when Bethany Jane Matilda Krause was born, and that was also equally the happiest day of our lives. Until, of course, December the 22nd, 1993, when Rebecca Marie Krause was born, and that was an equally happy day, and our quiver was full. And how many of you know that children are a heritage? They are a blessing of the Lord. And I remember as Joshua grew up, he was just a normal boy, and I had so much fun with him, and you know, for those first years of his life as we were in Ontario. One of the things that God gifted Joshua with was swimming. He was an amazing swimmer. I remember he won the Ontario Junior Lifeguard Games just before we came out here. And he'd been in the papers for swimming, and he swam actually in Alberta for the first year. And I remember going to the Alberta Provincials. At that point of his school and swimming life, he was swimming 9 times a week. So, I mean, I'd be getting up at 5 in the morning, taking him to the pool, then taking him to school. And I remember going to the Alberta provincial swimming, and he came in fourth place, which was pretty good, because first, second, and third were like that, you know, they all come in together. And I was thinking, you know, probably, I don't know if my son will ever make the Olympics, but I'm sure he's going to get a scholarship. Like, he was that good in swimming. He was just like a fish in the water. It was a year after we came. A year after we came, that Josh met somebody, and that person kind of introduced my son to drugs. And for the next 10 years of his life, Joshua battled with the sickness of addiction. And when that happened, I told the board immediately. I told them immediately what was going on, and they prayed for us. And I want to thank so many of you in the congregation who prayed for us over those years. And not only prayed for us, there were people over that decade or more that gave Joshua jobs, tried to help him. And we as parents, right up until the day God took him home, we did everything we could for Joshua. But I remember there was one day in Joshua's life when he was really in a hard place, and I left. I left the airport. I left the Edmonton airport. And it was like I saw my son falling into a black hole, and there was nothing. There was nothing to catch him. There was no net. There was no people. There was no branch. And he was kind of halfway down this deep black hole. And this is, you know, this is maybe, I don't know, this is maybe 10 years ago from when he passed. And I said to the Lord as we were taking off, because I really didn't know, I said, Jesus, if you take my son, I'll still serve you. I was kind of thinking, not that I'd ever compare myself to Abraham and Isaac, but I was just thinking, I've given him to you, I've dedicated him to you, we're doing everything we can for him. And I have to tell you, honestly, my son could have died in that decade 25 times, and that's not an exaggeration. God saved him again and again and again. And in fact, this addiction that he struggled with for those years, God brought him out of that, God delivered him, and these last 5 years were amazing years. The last 4 years were really good. Like, he lived with my dad when my dad passed away, and he helped my dad. During that time, Josh also got his license to be a heavy equipment operator. He drove a rock truck in a gold mine. I mean, he worked for Ledcor. You know, towards the end here, he did things that really made us so proud of him. And he would at times apologize to me. He'd say, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the pain that I've caused you. And I'd say, stop. Just stop. And he was still, you know, struggling with some things, but just doing so well in his life. I said, Josh, we know, yes, we have caused, you've caused us pain. And any of you that have these kinds of issues, you understand that it creates pain in a household. But I said, and I'd look at him right in the eye and I'd say, but I know it's hurt you more, son. It's been harder on you than it's been on us. And he got to the place where he was working and where he was sending us gifts. Not that he ever made that much money, but he was just doing well in his life. And so that's why we were shocked when I got that call. Friday, February the 7th, the sermon was ready. I told Pastor Jason, we're going to be praying after the first point of my four-point sermon. I had given him the song to sing. And Sunday, February the 8th, I was at home. All my sermon was finished. And I got the call. We hadn't heard from Josh for a while, so I called the police and asked them to go to his apartment. And the police went, and they found Joshua, and he was dead. And so we cried all day and all night, Wanda and Rebecca and I. And I called Bethany and Tej, and they wept. And they got on the plane from Miami, and they flew to Toronto on the Sunday when I was preaching here. We flew on the red eye. But I remember it was nighttime. It was nighttime on Saturday. And I was trying to sleep, and I couldn't get to sleep. And there was, this is how my mind said it, there was this stupid little children's chorus going on in my heart, and I couldn't lose it. It's the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, you know that chorus. And I couldn't lose it. So Wanda and Rebecca were crying down in the bed in the living room. It's about 12:30 now, Sunday morning, a.m. I went down, and I said, I have this stupid little children's chorus going on in my head. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Went back up to bed. And then I did something that I've never done in all of my Christian experience ever before. How many of you know that we don't need signs to believe in Jesus? We don't need signs. I mean, we have all the signs that we need. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He's the Son of God. He lived the sinless and perfect life. He died on the cross, and he rose from the grave, and he gave us the Word of God. We don't need any more signs than that. And so, you remember when Jesus was on the cross, there were some people who said, show us a sign. And he said, you wicked and adulterous generation. So you'll remember as your pastor, I've said it many times, I've never had a dream that I'd attribute to the Lord. I've never had a vision. My wife has had visions. She's had a vision when she's right beside me that we knew what that was. But I've never had a vision. I've never heard a voice. I've never had an angel. And I've always said, Lord, I'm open to that. But you know what? I do have his word. And that's all we need. I do have the Holy Spirit in my heart. And that's all we need, church. But I prayed a prayer Saturday night that I've never prayed in my Christian experience ever before. Because I was thinking about the sermon that God gave me, and I was thinking about talking to you, my church family. So I said, Jesus, would you give me a sign? Would you give me a dream? When I sleep tonight, would you give me a dream? And I didn't sleep very much. I only slept about an hour and a half. And as per normal, no dream. So I came and I preached the message, and I preached on Sunday morning, and I've had people say to me, how did you preach that message? And I got to tell you the truth. If you're here and you think that as a pastor you can stand behind this pulpit or behind anything and take this book, take this Bible, and preach any message in his or her own strength, you have the wrong pastor. I preached that message on Sunday the same way I'm preaching the message today, by the grace and the calling of God. And that's why I need you to pray for your pastors. So, we preach and do what we do as pastors by God's grace and by his strength. If you were here last Sunday morning, there was a point in the sermon. Oh, before I go there, I just want to talk about the scene, because we're going to remember the Lord in communion today. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you can do it right now. Because as we pass out those emblems later on, you can take those as his child. All you need to do is say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. I'm a sinner. And he'll save you, and he'll come into your life because he's alive. You can do that as I'm preaching or before we partake today. But the texts that we're going to look at here, John 13 and John 21, to frame our communion today. Jesus had asked his disciples, he said, go and set up the room. Go set up the room because I want to have this supper with you. I really want to eat with you. And they knew that he was coming to the conclusion. He was coming to the culmination of his time on earth. But they had no clue what his kingdom was going to be like. They thought that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. They thought that because they'd followed him for all of these years, that they would be the ones that would be helping Jesus set up this earthly kingdom. And so I want to tell you what the meal was like. There was a lot of tension in the air between the disciples even before Jesus arrived. Has anybody ever been to a family dinner and there's tension in the air? There was a lot of tension in the air at the family dinner. They were wondering, the disciples were, who was the greatest disciple. They were wondering, when Jesus set up his kingdom, who was going to sit at his right hand and who was going to sit at his left hand. In fact, one of the mothers had come to Jesus and she said, hey, Jesus, listen, I know you're going to be setting up this kingdom and all these disciples are good, but I want you to know, you know my two boys are the best, right? And so when you set up the kingdom, can they sit at your right and your left hand? And so there was a lot of politicking going on in the minds of the disciples, so much so that the room that they had set up was a nice room, but it was really stinking. Stinking. It had a stench in the room. And you know why that was? Because before Jesus came, there was water and there was a basin. But all of them were not saying anything, but they were thinking, I'm not washing his feet. He's an idiot. I'm not washing those brothers' feet. They want to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus, and that's my place in the kingdom. In fact, there was no one there that was willing to wash any of the disciples' feet, so the room was getting pretty stinky. And they were all wondering the same thing in John 13. They were wondering, where is the servant? Until finally, the servant arrived. And he washed the feet of his disciples. He even washed the feet of Judas. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they give us some pictures of the discussion. John gives us some different pictures. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke's pictures are very much the same. Jesus begins to talk to them, and he says, I want to tell you the truth. One of you is going to betray me. And all of them say, is it me? See, we all know our humanity. None of us have to pretend that we're perfect. None of us have to pretend that we have it all together. If we do, in fact, we repel the gospel from people's lives. Because how many of you know that Jesus didn't come for those who are healthy, but Jesus came for those who know that they are sick? And so here's the disciples, and they're all thinking, who's going to deny him? Well, finally, one of them stands up and says, listen, it's true. Jesus, you are right. You're absolutely right. They may deny you, but not me. Christian, be very careful. Be very careful how you carry yourself. They might deny you, but I will never deny you. Jesus looked at Peter and loved him, and he said, hey, Peter, you know what? Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. I want to look at John 13 here, just verse 34 to 38. We're just kind of setting the tone that was in the room. So now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. When Christ comes, how should we love? Here it is. Church, now this is for you and me. Now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you. He's just washed all their feet. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And as it comes to this congregation and how you prayed for and supported our family as we walked through that hard decade with our son, And some of you that took him on as an employee and offered him a job, and many of you that prayed and supported, you know, I would share with you, I knew you were praying. Thank you. Thank you for being so gracious. Simon Peter asked, where are you going, Lord? And Jesus replied, well, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. You know, tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. I mean, Peter's thinking they're going to set up the kingdom. Well, they are. And that's what we're doing, church. But why can't I come now, Lord? He said, I'm ready to die for you. Jesus answered, die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny three times that you even ever knew me. So I told Pastor Jason we're going to have a prayer line after the first point of the sermon I didn't want to preach. Of the series, I wasn't looking forward to preaching. And just as we were having that prayer line, how many of you were here for that prayer line last week? Just as we were having that prayer line, there was a slide that had Jesus with a black sheep on it, and this is what I said. I said, I love this slide. And I love this graphic. And I said this, if you're wondering who that black sheep is me. Do you remember me saying that? And so I preached the message, and then we flew out on the red eye. We got into Toronto you can take that graphic off, thanks. We got out into Toronto at about 6:30 in the morning. Bethany and Tej already were there. And so we drove up to Sudbury on the Monday morning. And we drove up to Sudbury Monday morning, and Tej and I had to go to the apartment and get the mattress and the box spring and the bedding out, because he'd been dead there, and you know, the apartment was stinking, and I didn't want the girls to have to see that, right? So we did. We just took the mattress and the box. We immediately got to Sudbury, went immediately to the U-Haul. We got the truck. We dropped the girls off. We went to Joshua's apartment, Tej and I, and we did that as quickly as we could. We got into the apartment, and the dump closed at 5 o'clock. We got to the dump at 5 to 5, praise the Lord. And we got rid of that, which was good, because there was the apartment still was stinky, but we didn't want the girls to see that. And then we're sitting down at the dinner table, me and my kids and my mom and my son-in-law. And just as we're to be seated, my mother says, I have something I just remembered. And now that we're all together, I have to tell you. I had a dream. I had a dream about Joshua. And I saw Joshua, and he was all in white. And he was looking radiant in his face, and behind him there was a brilliant doorway. My mom will be coming, and you can ask her to recount these words to yourself. And in the dream, I saw him all in white with his radiant face, and he looked to be about 20 years old, and he looked so happy. But she said, on both of his arms, from here to here and here to here, were chains. And she said, then I saw him. He went like this, and he had the authority to go like this and to go like that, and the chains were gone. And I'm sitting there, remembering what I prayed. First time ever, Saturday night. Jesus, give me a dream about Joshua. So I let Mom say that, because I hadn't told anyone that I'd asked the Lord for that. I had Mom say that, and then I said, hey, Mom, can I ask you a question? When did you have that dream? Tell me when she had the dream. Saturday night. You know what happened? I prayed that prayer, and God immediately gave her the dream. And I know what those chains were. Those chains were the bondages that Joshua struggled with for so many years of his life. But the chains are gone. The chains are gone. So then I said to the family, I have to tell you something. And I told them what I just told you. I told them I asked the Lord for a dream. And I'm really glad that God didn't give me that dream Saturday night. I'm just being honest with you now. Because you know what? I don't often say anything like this about the church, but I'm going to say it now, not our church. Sometimes there's some weird things that go on in the name of Jesus. Sometimes people are seeing all kinds of weird things, and there's manipulations that go on in the church life, you know. I talked about that in the message last week, the fourth one about deception. We don't look for signs. I'm glad God didn't give me that dream, because if I would have gotten that dream, I wouldn't have said what I said to you two Sundays ago. I would have said something like, you know what, my son passed away, but it's okay, God gave me a dream. Then I would have told you the dream. And now I'm just being really honest with you. If I was you sitting in the pew, you know what I would have thought? What a jerk. I would have thought he made it up. But I didn't make it up. And I'm really glad God gave my mom the dream, because she was the one that prayed so much for Josh and spent so much time with Josh. So that was the Monday night supper. Then Tuesday, we went and we cleaned out Joshua's apartment. And it was so good for Rebecca and for Bethany to see how orderly his apartment was. He had a one-bedroom apartment, and Josh was very handy, and he'd been working at Canadian Tire. He was working in the warehouse, looking forward to a mechanic's apprenticeship in his last days. And but he didn't like the lights in his apartment. And so we changed out the chandelier, and he'd send us a picture. Dad, I changed my chandelier, and he'd send it to his aunts, and he'd send it to his sisters. Look at my chandelier. And he changed out all the lights on the side. Like, he didn't like the side lights in the hallway and in the bedroom, so he changed all those out. And he didn't like the fridge in the apartment, so he didn't throw the fridge out. He just moved it to another spot, and he got a really nice red retro fridge. In fact, he had two red retro fridges. They were really nice. And, you know, he bought, like, all of his furniture was so nice, and it was so good for the girls to see. Everything was so neat. He'd bought in a brand new, didn't even have the stuff off plastic wrap, a brand new, beautiful furniture for his balcony where he was staying. And he had a nice balcony that looked out over the parking lot and into some trees. It was so good for the girls to see how that everything was in order. You know, Josh, in these last years, actually, was so concerned about his appearance. How do I look? Does my hair look good? And I mean, he had jeans. Listen, he had jeans. I can buy 5 pairs of jeans for the 1 pair of jeans that he had, if you know what I mean. Like, I mean, his clothes were sharp and everything was good. We took all the clothes, we gave them to the Diabetes Foundation. But he was always concerned about his appearance, and it was good for the girls in healing to see that all the clothes were folded neatly. He took pride in his place, and we packed up the U-Haul with his stuff, and he must have had about $12,000 or $13,000 or $14,000 worth of stuff that was only 4 years old. I mean, we helped him with that, but I mean, all of his stuff was nice. And what we did with it is we just gave it to somebody in our family who really needs it, that Joshua loved, and we gave it to them, and they'll be able to use it and remember Josh. So we just packed it up in a locker. Church, can I tell you something? All of our stuff stays behind. I'm not saying we shouldn't have stuff. We all have stuff. But let's invest in the things that matter. Let's really take scope of our lives. When you hold that bread in the cup today, let's invest in our time and our talent and our treasure. Let's spend our money wisely. Let's invest in the kingdom of heaven. So it was good for the girls to see how wonderful that was. And his top drawer, I got to tell you about his top drawer. In his top drawer were his socks and his underwear, but you know what was underneath that? Every card we've ever sent him for the last 5 years with all the encouraging words that we've written on them. And I'm sure there were times when Josh was feeling discouraged when he pulled those cards out and where he read them. Last Sunday, 1 week later, I listened. It was Saturday. This was the first moment, Saturday, February 15th. This was the first moment I had to breathe from the time that we left, because there's just so much to do, getting the preparations ready and cleaning stuff out and contacting different things and lots. But I can't remember where my mom and I can't remember where my mom went and where my mom and Wanda went, but I was alone in my mom's apartment. Saturday, February 15th. And I just clicked on the webpage, and I'd been in touch with Pastor Carson a couple of times through the week, but I clicked on the webpage, and I noticed the sermon I preached was online. So I clicked on it, and I began to listen to it. And then I had the same thought that you've asked, how did you preach that sermon? Well, I did it by the grace of God. 1 week later, I listened to the sermon that I didn't want to preach. When Christ comes, what will it be like? Point one, when Christ comes, they will be very difficult times. Subpoint one, Christian, don't be surprised at the fiery trial you're going through. Subpoint two, let your sufferings draw you to the Savior. And subpoint three, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And this was when we had that prayer line. And wasn't that a wonderful presence of the Lord as we gathered together last Sunday morning? Or a couple of Sunday mornings ago, I'm sorry. And at the altar call in the prayer time, there was a little girl right here in her mom's arms, if you weren't here. And I talked to you about reception and putting your hands up the TV. And then I said, then I talked to what if you're a three or four-year-old and you run home and I said, your mommy and daddy pick you up. And I said, come on up here, sweetheart. And I laid my hands on that little girl. Do you remember? And I said, go on down. Thanks for coming up. And that picture, you can put the slide up again of the first one there. The sheep is me. It's me. This picture was up just before. Yeah, the one that says the sheep is me. Yeah. That picture was up just as we had the altar call. And as we were there, I began to pray, and I said, come on, don't you think your father doesn't know what you're going through? Come on. You think he doesn't care for you? Come on, come on. Jesus bore stripes on his back. Listen, so you could be healed. So, Father, let healing come. Healing in Jesus' name. And I got to tell you, as I was listening to the message, like in alone in my apartment, I was weeping and crying, and the Lord was touching me. Because as much as that was for you, that was for us. It was for us. Come on, Jesus bore stripes on his back. Listen, so you could be healed. So, Father, let healing come. Healing in Jesus' name. We receive it, Lord. You think he doesn't love you? Keep your hands up. Let bondages be broken and just receive it. Just receive it. And I don't say this very often. You know what I said? Are you ready? This is days after. The chains are falling off. The chains are falling off. Just say, yes, Lord. The chains are falling off. And we place the enemy where he belongs, under our feet. Just listen to this. I'm taking you back to the TV antenna days. Remember? Down, no reception. Up, reception. For those of you that don't remember that, if you've got kids, or if you were a kid, I'm taking you back to the days when you were 4, 5, and 6, and you saw daddy or mommy, and you ran to them, and just like this beautiful little girl is right here. Come on up here. Come on up here. You ran to your mommy, and you ran to your daddy. You know what you did? You jumped right up. You jumped right up in their arms. You know what, Christian? Come on. Keep your hands up there. Thank you. Thank you so much. Come on now. Come on. You think your father doesn't know what you're going through? Come on. You think he doesn't care for you? Come on. Come on. Jesus bore stripes on his back. Listen, so you could be healed. So, Father, let healing come. Healing in Jesus' name. We receive it, Lord. You think he doesn't love you? Keep your hands up. Let bondages be broken. And just receive it. Just receive it. The chains are falling off. Come on. Just say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. The chains are falling off. And we place the enemy where he belongs, under our feet. Yeah, it's okay. Let's give the Lord glory. Amen. Amen. So I did say to you last Sunday, I said, I trust that my son is in heaven with Jesus. But you know, friends, after these signs, that I did ask for a sign, and God did give me the dream. And after these signs, and I did really make a mistake. I made a mistake last Sunday, or 2 Sundays ago. When I said that black sheep is me, I was wrong. I want to tell you what happened on Tuesday. It was the last call that I got. Tuesday, Maud, our secretary, phoned, and this is what she said. She said, Pastor Doug, it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Doug, you know, the Lord has impressed on my heart. I need to tell you, Joshua's the one. And I greeted her. I said, I'm sorry? She said, Pastor Doug, Joshua is the one. I said, Maud, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Maud, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, Pastor Doug, do you remember the story where Jesus left the 99 and he went to rescue the one? I said, yes. She said, Joshua is the one. And so I was wrong, the black sheep. Well, it is me, because remember what Paul said? He said, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. He didn't say I was the worst one. He said, I am the worst one. But you know what the Lord let me know Tuesday before I came home? You know who that black sheep was? It was Joshua. Pastor Doug, she said, Joshua is the one. And so I can tell you with a broken heart, because this is not what we were praying for our son, that I know where my son is. And if you want to know what happened to him, I'm happy to tell you. He didn't die of a gunshot. He didn't die from a drug dealer. He didn't die in prison. He didn't die in some kind of a horrible accident. My son, in his own apartment, went to bed and died peacefully in his sleep. And never woke up again, because Jesus left the 99 and he came and he took my son to himself. So for that, I give praise and honor to Jesus. Sunday, February the 16th, last Sunday, I worshiped at Glad Tidings Tabernacle. It was the church where I dedicated Joshua. Joshua was born in Sudbury, and the Lord took him home in Sudbury peacefully in his own bed. And in that service, there was a prophecy, a tongues and an interpretation, and this is what it said. I am your God.
I have not forgotten you, and I will strengthen you.
Josh had been buying stuff for us all week long because he had about $140 cash in his apartment, and he also had some gift cards. And so when we had pizza Tuesday night, I said, after we cleaned out the apartment, I said, Josh just bought us all pizza. Then when I put gas in the van, Josh just put gas in the van. When we went to Tim Hortons, Josh just took us for Tim Hortons through the week as we're doing stuff. But he had two cards from the keg, and so we checked those out to see if there was anything on them. One of them had $100, and one of them had $39.99. So $139.99. February 17th, Monday, was my birthday. So we went out to the keg. And Joshua bought me and Wanda and my mother dinner. And I had about $20 left in my wallet, and I had to peel that $20 out and give it for the tip. And so I said, Josh brought us dinner. Now, some of you will remember when my dad died that I had left Edmonton. I got into Toronto, and I phoned the hospital room where my dad was, and he passed away right then. I didn't get to see my dad. And then when I said, okay, Mom, I'll see you shortly, I hung up, and there was a song playing. And the song was Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Remember I shared that with you? So this was so funny. On my birthday, February 17th, after Joshua had paid for our birthday dinner, no word of a lie, we got up from the, is it up there? Do you have that song? Yeah. We got up from our dinner table, and we're leaving, and this comes on the speakers. Thanks, that's good. And so I started to laugh, and I said, that's just what my son would say. He bought our meal. He's up in heaven with Jesus and with Dad, and he's saying, I just bought you a steak dinner on your birthday. Don't you forget about me. I can see him doing that with a wry smile on his face. And son, we won't forget about you. We're going to keep on going. And the same grace of Jesus that called us from the beginning will carry us through. Well, Thursday, February the 20th, I started to type this at 5 in the morning, this message that I'm sharing with you today. And by the way, if those of you, thank you for praying for us. You have the card. But if you want this timeline, I've run some off, and you can take it with you if you'd like to. There's some at the Welcome Center as you pick up your annual reports. Thursday, February the 20th, I literally just finished typing this sheet. I started at 5 a.m. I saved it, and I was going to close it off to get ready to go back to spa because I just came back on Wednesday. The time was 7 a.m., and I saved it, and I was just about to go up and take a shower and come into work. Does anybody know what happens at 7 a.m.? I publish a devotional every day called the Daily Lifeline, and just before I got off the computer, it came into my inbox. So I opened it. Now, I had to save these all before I went to do Joshua's stuff, so I didn't write it that day. February 20th, his peace for all. I'll read it to you. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles, those that are serving us communion. Please get ready. Come. Who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's holy family. And this is what I said. Of course, the promises of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were only available to those who were born into or converted Jews until Christ Jesus came and fulfilled all of the law and the prophets. Then these promises were open to everyone who would call upon his name in the new and living way. This good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ brings his peace to all who come to him. The same Holy Spirit comes and abides within us. The peace that Jesus brings does not promise or promote an end to earthly testing or suffering, but rather a peace of the presence of the Holy Spirit that will provide each one of us as his children a peace beyond human understanding in all of the situations and circumstances that we will face. This peace comes to our hearts and lives because we know that we are secure in the love of Jesus. We are no longer foreigners or separated from God's great and precious promises, but now we are partakers together in the person of his Holy Spirit. There's nothing like knowing that you belong to God. You can call him your Father at any time. You can obtain grace and mercy in your times of need, and he will never leave or forsake you,
Never. Can there be any greater assurance in this life or in the one to follow in eternity? And here's the prayer with that lifeline. Heavenly Father, for your peace through Christ Jesus, my Lord, I give you praise today. You know, friends, I have two choices. I can either give him praise or I can curse God and die. I mean, isn't that what Job's wife said to him? But to tell you, that thought is not in my heart. Hey, if this is what it's all about, if when my son's doing good, he's going to die at 32, listen, I could curse God and die and just give up. But that would be foolish. That would be foolish. Help me, Holy Spirit, to know, grow, and flow in your presence in all circumstances and all situations. I pray for the glory of Jesus, my Lord. And then I typed this on Thursday. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. Wanda and I need it more than ever before. Now at 7:05 a.m. It's 7:05 when I did this, February the 20th. I'm going to get ready and head back to Spa for Life. Help us serve you. And then I said this, the end, ? Or is it a brand new beginning? Pastor Carsten, you mentioned that we're doing a spiritual growth campaign. We usually do that in January. We've never done it this time of the year, ever. But isn't it interesting? I'm preaching you this message in church. Can I tell you something? You're picking up an annual report called 2020 Perfect Vision, and you know what time it is? It's time to dream. Next Sunday. It's time to dream. It's time to allow God to sharpen our hearts and to sharpen our lives. Now, church, John 21 is where I want to end this. Peter denied the Lord, and he wept bitterly. And you know what Jesus did? He saw them, and they all went back to fishing to what they knew to do. They were just going to be earthlings instead of heavenlings. Jesus saw them, and he said, hey, how's the fishing? Come on forward, communion people. We won't start serving yet. Or actually, we will start serving while I'm talking. Come and begin to serve. Hold on to these emblems as I'm talking. So John 21, Peter is depressed. He says, I'm going to go fishing. And then the other fishermen say, I'm going to fish too. There's no point. Jesus is dead. Jesus comes, and he says, how's the fishing? They catch fish. Peter runs back to the shore. Hold on to those emblems till I'm finished. Then we'll partake in them together. And then after Jesus gives them a shore lunch, and fishermen love shore lunches, he takes Peter under his arm. And three times he says this to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Would you say that? Do you love me? Would you say it again? Do you love me? Say it again. Do you love me? Listen, all of us fail the Lord. Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke said to Peter, let me tell you something, Peter. After Peter said, I'll never deny you. Peter, you're going to deny me. And I want you to know something. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. You know, friends, as you see this sign here, Spa for Life, that's out of John 10, 9 and 10. And we know that the thief comes to do what? He comes to? And to? But you know what I want us to be like? I'll tell you this. No, we will not curse God and die, my wife and I. But if we have breath, and for every day that we have breath, not in our own strength, but by the grace of God, we will fulfill the call of God on our lives. And this is what I believe. I believe that when we are finished our call, that there will be many less people in hell because we will be faithful to the call of the gospel in a greater measure than we ever were before. And I'm not sure if the enemy had anything to do with the taking of my son on February the 8th. I don't know if he did. But if he thinks that we're going to slow down or we're going to kind of crawl into a ditch and die or we're going to be sad, do you know where he can go? He can go to hell where Jesus Christ is going to put him eventually. Because by the grace of God that has kept us this far, we will pray more, we will study more, we will give more, we will serve more, we will preach more. And most importantly of all, because without this, it doesn't matter. We will love more. And church, this is what I want to say to you. There's going to be other Joshuas and Janes that walk through our door with chains on. Don't judge them. You know, addiction is a sickness. It's a sickness like greed. Did you know the Bible says greedy people don't get to go to heaven? But we just separate sin, don't we? There's going to be rich people that walk into this church that are millionaires that need Jesus. Don't cozy up to them because they've got $1 million. Just treat them like a soul. And here's what I believe. I believe that God will draw our congregation together in these days even a greater way. I'm so glad for what he's done in the past. But I believe he's going to do greater things through us in the future. If you believe that, can you say amen? When Christ comes, how should we love?
We should love like Jesus who restored Peter. So be more loving, be more kind, be more generous, be more forgiving, be more caring. And let me tell you something. Love is not looking at somebody and saying, I love you. That means nothing. Love is action. Love is doing. Love is giving. Love is serving. You want to know what love is? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's love. Has everybody been served? I don't think I've been served. I need to be served. The platform needs to be served. Jesus broke the bread and he said this to the disciples who wanted to know who was the most spiritual, who was going to set up the earthly kingdom. They had no idea he was going to suffer and die, and he was talking about you. He was talking about me, us, the body of Christ. He said, every time that you eat this bread, remember me. So before you eat the bread, this is what I want to say to you. Don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me. That's what Jesus said. And Lord, we won't forget about you. We won't forget that you wore stripes on your back so that we can be healed. We won't forget, Lord, that you bore stripes on your back so we could be one loaf, one body, each member belonging. Let's partake of the bread, please. After supper, he took the cup. This is the price. After supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new agreement. Every time you drink of this cup, I want you to remember how much I love you. Every time you drink of this cup, I want you to remember the blood that was shed. Listen now. Not so that your sins could be covered, but so your sins are gone. You know how I'm getting to heaven? It's not by any Bible college study I've done. It's not by any sermon I've ever preached. It's not by how much I've prayed or how much I've given. I'm getting to heaven because Jesus Christ shed his blood for my sins. Let's partake of the cup. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to sing a closing song in a moment. But before we do that, I just want to remind you, members, that the reports are at the Welcome Center to be picked up. And if you would like a copy of that timeline, if that's something you'd like to have, I printed a couple of hundred. If we run out, just let them know and we'll print some more. You know, if you want to take that, you can take that. When bad things happen, things that you weren't praying for, don't be foolish. Don't curse God and die. Say this. The Lord has given. Can we say that? The Lord has given. Say, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.